Yes. Talking about Butch. Butch was out in the yard, barefooted, and he has neuropathy from his diabetes, and he didn't know that he cut his foot, and then his foot got to swelling up. Before he realized it, he ended up with a pretty bad wound on the bottom of his foot. He's in a hospital. He's in the hospital, or he got to get out today. But it was bad enough, they thought they were going to ship him up to Barnes. They thought it got to his bone, but Dr. Platt got it cut out before it got that deep. So good thing and bad thing. Yes, and Connie was talking about the bugs and all that, and that particular scientist happened to catch a little bit on internet. What determines that is not the darkness. What determines that is where the moon's at. The critters, when the moon's in a certain area, as it passes over, it doesn't show at all. That's what sends them a signal. It's time to go to sleep. So when the moon comes over like that, it's going to be a signal for them. Oh, that was quick. God is good, though, isn't he? Pretty amazing thing to watch all of this. If you look at the future eclipses, it's just interesting when you see the fold of what's going to be taking place. Yeah, in 7 years, it comes across a different direction, but we get the same length in America. Most of the time, it's across the ocean. You don't catch it as much. So it's a pretty big deal, pretty neat. We decided here, we were gonna auction off parking spaces out here and all that stuff, and then we thought, I don't want to be here in all that mess. So I'm going to be home. Looking up in the sky. Make sure you wear the glasses that are, what was the?
ISO.
Make sure it's got an ISO rating on it, or don't use them. If they're old glasses, throw them away, and they're cheap. Sometimes they give them away. So don't tear your eyes up. I don't think Doc's good to look at it for a long period of time anyway, is it? Even with glasses?
No.
No. I mean,
don't wear your prescriptions with those.
With these. I mean, you just, you know, look at it and quit staring at it. Be like going out during the day when we have sun around here. And look out and stare at the sun. Well, nobody would do that. I mean, you couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. Title.
Yes.
Voices. One of those times where I got into my notes, and then as I was flowing into it, things changed once again. I love that when he does that, because then I know he's talking. It's so important for us to hear what God wants us to hear. Part of it, too, as I was going through and he was speaking to me was, you know, lots of times when I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to me. Matter of fact, anytime I'm on a subject, he's usually talking to me about me. So don't ever feel like you're getting your toes stepped on, because mine already got crushed. You know, there's only one way to keep your voice, the things you speak, to stay in line, and that's to stay in that word.
Amen.
You know, John 15:7, if you want to write that down, it says, if you abide in me, that's capital me, my words, capital my words abide in you. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Have you ever really thought about that scripture? See, if that's the case, and I'm asking, I'm speaking, there's obviously a lot more power in what you say than we all give credit for.
That's right.
Now, I'm talking negative and positive, but I want to stay in the positive on this, because if we can get this mouth under control with anything we're walking through, I mean, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a gallbladder that's giving you a fit. I don't care if it's arthritis that's giving you a fit. Those are just names. And if the word, and this is just one scripture on this, but if we abide in him, it says, if you abide in me, my word abides in you. Well, if his word abides in me, then that word has got power. You know, Hebrews 4:11 tells us that word divides our thoughts and intents. The Bible tells us all through that power of life and death is in your tongue. And we all know that scripture. But do we really know that scripture? Have we really got that revelation, that rhema word? See, a rhema word is something that goes from here to here. You could not talk to me long enough to convince me that I'm not saved. I can't do anything bad enough to not be saved. Because the word says that I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit. The word says, and at one time in my life, I got a rhema word on that you are saved and you're going to heaven. We've got to get that same rhema word on everything we say, knowing that when I'm speaking, there's life or there is death in what I say. Now, when you're going through things in life and you're dealing with issues in life, it's so easy to talk about someone rather than talk about the situation. Because see, the situation, things have to be talked about. You're healing. You've got to talk about, you've got a gallbladder problem and this is what you need to do and this is the things we have to do. You're talking about it. But if you're talking about the person that you're having problems with maybe, then you're gossiping, then you're spewing death, then you're not fixing anybody. You may think, well, I've got a good heart, but that person is doing this, this, and this. Come on. There's life and death in this. And if I'm abiding, and if you're abiding with him, you'll get a check in your spirit, man, that your talking needs to be adjusted. We've got to deal with situations in life. Oh, I mean, it's daily. It's constantly. I got so tickled today. I ran down. I had a little bit of time. I ran down to Dad's to see how he was doing. And they put a monitor on him for his heart for 30 days. And you know what his comment was? I guess they figured I'm going to live 30 more days. I mean, he was real flippant. And we were talking about it in the elders' meeting. You know, lots of times that scripture where Paul says, you know, I got a lot and I got a little and I'm happy in the middle of it. Well, that don't always mean money. That means life. Rick Mathis, he got up and gave an awesome testimony on being healed of cancer. Stage 4 cancer. But do you know what? I've spent a lot of time talking to him. He would have been happy without getting healed. Because his words were always in line with the Lord and his trust is in the Lord. And you're supposed to speak that you're healed. And you're supposed to speak that you're prosperous. Whether you get there or not in this lifetime doesn't mean anything because God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But see, when I learn to abide in him, everything's okay. Everything's going to be okay. 1 Corinthians 2:4 says, and my speech and my preaching were not with, listen to this, were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. He knew that the words that he spoke was going to do something. You know, I think about Paul a lot because Paul brought grace to the people. Jesus tried to bring grace forth. Well, Jesus brought grace forth. But he tried to speak grace to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but they wouldn't hear anything about it. And then Paul come along, who was destroying the Christians, and got touched by the Holy Spirit, and got a revelation on grace. Think about the times that he listened to people that was arguing with him, but yet he paid attention to what was going on and he stood on the words that he knew he had to speak and he watched things change and they're still evolving towards the true meaning of grace. It's all about grace, folks. I don't care how bad you think you've been or how bad you might do tomorrow, you are covered by grace of God. And you've got to get that revelation and you've got to speak that revelation. We sung a song about righteousness a while ago. I am righteous, not in my own doings. My goodness, I'm a mess. I mean, all of us, let's just go back today and let's just check every thought. You may have been a saint in your life and your what people seen, but how was your thoughts? Were they perfect? See, we're none, but yet we are. Because of the blood of Jesus, I'm made righteous. I'm okay. But see, I've got to get myself to get that down inside of me. And I've got to not allow You know, it's so easy to allow other people, and you know, I think I'm going to start doing some teaching on offenses. It seems like everybody around here right now is going through, we're just touchy. Do you know that you're not responsible for what other people say? Not a person here can I fix. What we say, I am the only one that's responsible for what comes out of this mouth. You are the only one that's responsible. Now, if I say something to offend you, God will take care of this guy. You just got to be strong enough and mature enough not to allow that offense to get you to speak things that you shouldn't say. See, that's where the battle's at. Because all of us don't like to get hurt. All of us don't like to get talked about. All of us don't like things to go somebody else's way. Decisions are hard. And if you allow someone to intimidate you, you're allowing their words to move you when you've got to stand on what you believe. No. Because see, I'm not responsible for you. I'm responsible to give you what I can give you, the best I can give you, and then now guess who's got it? Now, if you've never heard it, then you're not responsible. Well, it's kind of like before the law came, nobody sinned, folks. There was no law. Nobody knew it was sin. That's why I wish they'd take the speed limits down. See, then I wouldn't know that I was speeding. Come on. I'm watching Jay Leno today, and he was in a car that goes 180 mile an hour. And somebody asked him, what's the fastest you've went? And he went on the salt flats in a car, a jet car, 273 mile an hour. And he said, when you get past 100, he said, it's a different ball game. Well, can you imagine? I'd love it. So that's on my bucket list. In heaven. Because if it crashes, I won't get hurt. I want to go over 200. I want to get the feeling of going over 200 mile an hour. That would be a rush. Well, just go get in a jet. Yeah, but I'm not sitting on the wing of that jet. See, we're not responsible for anybody else but us. So we've got to get to the place of understanding that our words have got to always give life. Now, I'm talking to everybody here, so don't put your heads down. Listen to me. I'm talking to me too. So, well, he's really talking. No, I'm talking to all of us. There's not one of us that can do this all day perfect. But the more we get locked in and abide, that scripture I read you, the more we're around Jesus, the more we're at church, the more we're around church people, the more we're listening to the things of God, the more we've got CDs going in our ears, and we've got podcasts going in our ears. The more we're around the Word of God, the more you're going to be leaning that way, because what you put in is what you're going to be. I was talking with Drew a little bit today, and he was talking about going back to school and who's going to be there and who's not going to be there. And he was saying this one person is not going to be there. It's just going to be better for him because he always got Drew into the wrong things. And his words were, I didn't say it, his words were, you know, Dad, it says in the Bible that whoever you hang out with is who you're going to be like. I said, yeah, that's the word. And how awesome for a young boy to get that back in class and get that to the place where he's already speaking it out and he knows wherever he hangs is wherever he's going to be. And folks, it's the same with us. If you're having trouble with your mouth, who are you running with? They may be influencing what you're saying and you don't even know that. And if you're not spending more time here than you are there, whichever dog you feed gets the strongest. And we've got to learn to get in this word. And it's not by law you have to do this. You don't have to read this at all. There's nowhere it says if you don't read the word, you're going to hell. Now, it's your benefit to read this because this is going to tell you how to live and what to do and show you where the grace is at and show you all the good things that's going to. Folks, we got 30 years coming up at this church. We have been so blessed. Amen. All the good ministries that are coming out of this church and all the good things that's coming out of this church and some of the missionaries that are out of this church and some of the things that's been, we are so blessed. You think the enemy is not wanting to destroy what's going on here. And you know how he will do it if he gets his hands on it? By what we say.
Amen.
Well, it's not like I like it. Doesn't matter. We have missed it at times here, but we're trying to follow God.
Amen.
Did you hear me? And I think the leadership here has heard God. I think they know God's voice. And we don't just, let's just do that. No, it takes some time to make sure that what we're doing is what we're doing. And then we speak what we're supposed to speak. That's like I have been telling you for a long time, something's going to change. Well, I'm preparing you for something that's going to change. And if you want to recognize that something's changing, just look in the corner. It's already started changing. See, many of you didn't even see that. There's patching going on, and two of the, me and Connie did one of those sound, what do you call them? Sound baffles. We did one last night on the kitchen table. That was a mess. We'd never used that glue that you spray. Yeah, it was on the kitchen table and it was on the floor. And before we got done, we just go, but we kept it. Our words were good. Our words were, we'll never do this again.
Not here.
Not here. Our words were, we'll put plastic down everywhere. Our words were, how are we going to get this up? We got it up. And then I went down and got car wax and shined up her countertop, because anything she wants is a slick countertop. Well, I waxed the countertop up. I had to wax the floor around where it got sticky, and the dog went running through and hit that, and pew. So we kept our words, because listen, it's our words. I can remember a time, and you can remember times that you reacted to something like that, and it ruined the whole evening. We had fun with it, especially when the dog went pew, and that was my fault because I took his little ball and threw it to see what had happened. And he didn't stop. He bounced off the wall. Words. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it, this what I'm reading is truth. Out of it springs the issues of life. You say, I'm broke. Quit speaking it. But I've never got enough money. Quit speaking it. But I'm sick all the time. Quit speaking it. Understand that the only way you're going to get on the other side is life. Is life. Anything you're doing, you speak life into it. Anything that's going on in your life becomes life because you speak life. Now, God's grace covers us a lot because we've been so ignorant in the Word. But I'm telling you, folks, the more words you know, the more words you got to recognize, you got to use. And when you do, your life will start swinging towards. You say, yeah, but I don't have the money that everybody else has got. What difference does that make? Every need is going to be met if you trust Him.
Amen.
We had a situation where Casey had a lot of money ripped off from her. But isn't it amazing how God restored every bit of it plus? It just happens because God... because that's the way God is. He's got it designed that way. He's a good God. See, we've got to only allow the truth of the Word to be in our thoughts. Now, when you meditate and abide in this, and I said it earlier, that becomes a rhema. That, and it's funny how, you know, you can open this up and you can read something. It's just like, well, you know, okay. Yeah, you know, okay. And then all of a sudden... It's got to be a spiritual thing, because how else would it even happen? You see something you've never seen before, and then you have an understanding like you've never had before. That's like the scripture I read earlier. It's the issues of life. I said, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issue of life. Now, somebody may, here or on the internet, that may all of a sudden go, wow. That's why if somebody comes up to you and says, did you read this? Now, you may have got that revelation 6 years ago, 10 years ago. Act like it's new to you too for them, because it's new to them. It's exciting to them. And get into it with them and make them understand that, yes, and there's this with it too. Oh, wow, now your revelation just keeps getting bigger. See, if we could really get a revelation that he is the truth, it's all over. We're good. We're fixed. It doesn't matter. It's just a good thing. I got tickled again with Dad today. I mean, he's got such a positive attitude. He come out of a little hard time for a couple of days is all. But he was saying, you know, because he can't get out of his chair hardly at all now. He can't come to church. And he was saying, you know, but if I could do right now, because he's not expecting to stay in the chair, if I could do right now, I wouldn't have been able to listen to all these books that I've been listening to. And he loves history, and he loves the world war that he was involved in. He loves all that. So he's getting the background of a lot of stuff that he kind of knew. And then today he was, I had to leave. I said, Dad, I've got to go. I've got things I've got to do for the service. He said, yeah, but I've been listening to this one lady who's been preaching. And he started, and I was, Dad, I got to go. Dad, I got to go. His words are life. Why do we want to be a big old grouch and a big old... You know, I read earlier that scripture. If you abide in my word, the power of your... Basically, it's saying, if you abide in my word abides in you. And whatever you ask, there is so much power that it will be given to you. He gives you the desires of your heart. Now, that's the desires that you get out of his heart. Now, if I don't read the word and I don't care about the Lord and I don't give him another thought, I've got desires, but those desires are human wisdom. Those desires are things that I can make happen, but that'll never fulfill, that'll never fill the void that I had one time in my life. He is the only thing that fills it. You know, you could even be born again, fired up, and still have voids at times. You can be hungry. Sometimes you can just, I'm hungry. You know, sometimes it's not food. It's this right here. You feel something's not quite right. You know, I'm off on Thursdays, and sometimes I'll just jump up and get to going things I got to do. And then sometimes I'll feel that something's missing. And sometimes I'll just back up and spend a little time, if it's just sitting in the yard, and just talk to the Lord and try to bring things back around. And it always works because his word says that. His word, you know, think about David. If you want to write scripture down, we've been there for a while for some reason. 1 Samuel 17 about David. We know the story. I'm not going to go into it. I mean, you heard it from me and then you heard it from Brad. It's crazy how he was preaching something that I had already preached. He didn't know I was preaching. I didn't know he was preaching. Anyway, David, young boy, going up to the front line to see his brothers. Innocent, taking food to them so they can eat. And then he sees this giant guy. He sees this Goliath. And he says, he was taunting and saying, if you can whip me, we'll bow to you, vice versa, back and forth. And he said, what would the king do if somebody whipped him? Well, then they were telling him. Well, then his brother, who's speaking now, his brother says, what are you doing here? I know you. Go back and just play with your sheep. Well, now, those words come to him. What did he do? He didn't take those words and allow it to pull him down. He took the words as a change your thought. And if you read it, he turned immediately to somebody else and said, what did you say that he would do? See, he had to change the thought. If you leave the... Jesus was tempted in every way, according to the scripture. But he never sinned. You mean he had thoughts of pornography? I'm sorry, folks. He did have at least one. What did he do with it? He never thought on it again. So he never sinned. You know, some people think if you have one bad thought, that you're going to hell. Well, listen, all you got to do is turn on the TV and you have to fight the thoughts of all the things that are being said now. I mean, you can't even watch Family Feud anymore. It's so suggestive and so... Words. Words. Those words are being spoken and being bombarded into to our eyes and our mind, and then we'll have a bad thought. Well, then what you do is you just don't watch it, and you change that thought to a proper thought. See, David went immediately back and said, what did you say they would do? And then, so now his thought is on. Now, you know, I may be little, but I whooped a lion. With God's help, I couldn't have done it without him. And I whooped a bear, you know, with great big old claws. I love it in the New Living Translation. It said he grabbed the lion and beat him to death with a club. But he knew he could. And he knew God would take care of that. And he knew his God was getting spoke against. And so he knew his God would stand up with him. And then it's funny, I don't know what the time was, but it said that the word got back to the king. Now, did they go immediately? Was this a week later? Was this the next time Goliath showed up? Was this the next morning? But the word, the spoken word, got back to the king. Hey, I heard this young kid, David, saying that he could whip him. He said, that is not a problem. I can tell. Bring him in. Well, I can imagine the king. Are you kidding me? You're just a ruddy kid. You're just a little guy. I mean, he's a trained warrior. Since he was young, he was a trained warrior. It did not change. He took the thought. He could have took the thought and walked out with his head down and never, ever got in the story like he was supposed to get in the story. Why is all that in there? For you. Don't you let somebody else destroy what God's showing you you're going to do. You know, Laura had been teaching herself in a short span of time to play the piano and play the keyboard. I'm sure there's times when she first started and her fingers didn't go where her fingers were supposed to go, that she had thoughts, ah. See, that's what happened to me with the guitar. It was like, I'm not doing this. This is not going to work for me. You know what destroyed my guitar playing? My thoughts. Then my mouth. I don't have time for this. I'd rather drive a car. I'd rather work on a car. That's where I wanted to go. But my words didn't give life to the guitar. I can play Rolling Stones Satisfaction. That's it. I can't get no boo-doo-doo. That's not even good words. Not even good words. We could go to Led Zeppelin, Highway to Heaven. No. We better quit. You're hearing my past. What about Joseph? Got a whole different flip side now. Joseph was just an arrogant, little, prideful kid, immature. But his brothers took his words and took them as death. And then his brother allowed their thoughts to the place that when they seen him coming from afar, it says, that's in Genesis 37:18, it says, when they saw him from afar off, they conspired to kill him. This was his brother, their brother. But how did it get there? They had to have been thinking wrong thoughts. And then in those wrong thoughts, they started speaking wrong thoughts. And the more wrong thoughts that was heard between themselves, the more they conspired of what they were going to do to get rid of him. And it got to the place, let's just throw him in a well. And then as they got ready to totally leave him to die in the well, they seen an opportunity. They had a thought. Let's just take him and sell him. Thoughts. Very interesting. Then look at just Joseph's thoughts. He had to have took those thoughts of when he was in the well. Man, God, what are you going to do here? And then when he got tied to the camel, what are you going to do here? Then when he got put in prison for something he didn't do, Lord, what are you going to do here? Lord, I thank you that you're going to get me out of this. See, his words obviously were right words. I'm trying to get this in. Grab this. We've got to learn that no matter what's going on, we speak life. We speak life. We come to that place where all that ever comes out of us is life. It's life. You know, the word abide literally means to stay in a state of expectancy, dwell, endure, and remain. But do you know that you can stay in a state of expectancy on the negative too? Yeah. So when you abide, we've got to learn to abide with the truth. We've got to learn to abide with the life. We've got to learn to abide. You know, I can get blood transfused into me, and that's life. I can get rum transfused into me, and that's death. I can expect them both to do something, and they will do something. But see, when I get a revelation, and that's what I'm praying tonight, that we'll get this revelation, that when we are speaking about anybody, anything, or any situation, we are speaking life, we are speaking the word, we are speaking the truth. I get so tickled at the news now. I mean, it's just, I don't even want to listen to it anymore. Because you don't know who's telling the truth. And then God love our president. He's got a good heart, but he just needs to, he needs to hear my sermon. You know, because he gets himself in trouble all the time with his mouth. If he would just speak life. And I know he's got ministers all around him that's going to, he hadn't got the revelation yet. He's a good Christian man. He wants good Christian things for the country. I mean, Ken Gobb was asked to be on his board. And so Ken spent some time with him. And Ken said, when you're one-on-one, he is just sold out to the Lord and wants the best for the country. But you never hear that. But he's got good men around him. But what's going to happen? I'm telling you, he's going to abide around those people. He's going to abide around those prayer meetings every morning. He's going to abide. And one of these days, he's going to grab that revelation. And you're going to start seeing where the president had nothing to say today. Because they're not going to tell you the good things. See, that's where we've got to start making the difference. As just this small body, if we'll start speaking the positive about America, we are turning this around. God's not going to let this country that he designed go down the tube. He's not going to do it. There's no doom and gloom on this country because we have been missionaries. We were formed for his glory. Are we going through a hard time? Absolutely, because we have people that use their words for destruction. Dad listened to 9 hours of teaching on the inside works of the government. And he said, it's not something everybody wants to read because there's so much deceit and lying. See? So we've got to be ones that start speaking life into what God's doing because God's going to do it. Just like this eclipse, it is amazing how perfect our God is. They know from science exactly where that thing's going to go and exactly the square foot of where it's going to cast that perfect shadow. How? Only because God's perfect. And they know God works the same all of the time. Folks, they know when the star is going to pass because they know that star has passed that way every time since it's been created. They know when the 12th, when we had the meteor shower, they knew those meteors were going to be coming by because it's come by every time. That's how perfect God is. But see, what he's telling us is to grab this and understand that if we abide with him, then when we speak, we're going to bring life to our situation. It doesn't look good. It doesn't make any difference how it looks. We've got a son in now for triple homicide. But I'm telling you, God is going, because it's got to be God. God is going to get him out and the truth is going to come forth. Now, some will believe it because that's the way it is and some won't. But I know in my heart the truth of the matter and I know in my heart, well, you kind of get like, how could it even? Because you have judges drop it and you have lawyers drop it and disappear and this and this and this and this and this. And we're kind of at the place now. So it's like the last time this happened, the Holy Spirit told Chris, you just type up everything you need and file it. Well, he's doing it again, 140 some pages. Wow. He's going to file it. So God can do it. But been real easy to just go, that's it. It's just what it is. It's what's happening. But you know what? If nothing ever happens, it's okay too. I love to stand on that scripture that says that we are but a because I'm going to get through this, and I'm going to get through with fun, and I'm going to have a good time. But see, I've got to start speaking good time. I've got to start speaking, I'm going to win. I've got to start speaking, it's going to be okay. I've got to speak, yes, I missed it, but God's good and he'll fix it.
Yes, amen.
Yeah. Lord, I'm so sorry for moving in this direction. But I did, and I know you can fix it. I've been saying that a lot lately. Thank you for fixing it. I don't, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Folks, we just got to abide with him and trust in him and know that he's going to do it. 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says that evil company messes up your character. One of those things that we were talking about earlier. If you hang with, you're going to listen to, and you're going to speak that way. I worked at the coal mines. It was an amazing thing. Now that I really look back, it was an amazing thing how the language that they used. It's like, and I think the prison's kind of the same way. There's a four-letter word that if it's not in the sentence two or three times, you haven't made a sentence. I mean, it's like they don't know how to talk any other way. And it gets to be, you hear it, you hear it, you hear it, and all of a sudden you hear you say it, and you go, ugh. But then if you keep speaking that death becomes bigger than the life. And it sure does hurt your witness too. Because life doesn't speak that way. Life doesn't destroy. Life builds up. Life takes care. Life is an awesome thing. We've got to come to that place of recognizing every thought. And you all know the scripture. Philippians 4:8. Just think on these things. Just allow these things. See, David had to direct his thought. Joseph had to direct his thoughts. You have to direct your thoughts. I've got to direct my thoughts. And as I direct them, and sometimes we fight to get them there, and sometimes we're reminded of the bad stuff. It's just very difficult. Sometimes you just shake your head and say, get me out of this. But then we know that it tells us in Ephesians 4:23 to allow yourself to be renewed by the Spirit. You know, I like the scripture that you go to in it's 3 John where it tells you to pray in the Spirit. We don't talk about that around here enough. We've been blessed with prayer language that it's called. It's praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. That they allow it, he allows it in the body for those that aren't saved. And then someone gives an interpretation. But he gives it to all of us to pray when we're by ourselves. When you don't know what to pray. And the Bible says in 1 John or 3 John that you pray in the Spirit to build yourself up. Jude 20 something. You pray in the Holy Ghost to build yourself up. I'll catch myself when things are tense and tight that all of a sudden under my breath I can just feel that. Well, you know, actually, I should be doing that under my breath all the time. Why not just keep the generator going and keep the battery at the top of the chart? Keep yourself where when you run into situations, you're prayed up and you're ready, and you're ready for situations and circumstances. You know, Romans 12:2, you all know that one. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, take this computer and start putting in the right stuff. We got tickled. We was in the coffee shop earlier, and Joanne had her computer on, hooked to the Wi-Fi, and all of a sudden it had something pop up from Israel. Dead Sea something, something, something. Well, then she asked us how to get rid of it, so we punched, and it disappeared, and all of a sudden it popped back up. It was trying to get in. It was something that was trying to get in. Then all of a sudden a virus thing popped up. It was trying to get into her little iPad. See, we got to fight that kind of stuff every day in real life. It's trying to get in. It's trying to get in. It's trying. You can delete, and then all of a sudden, Learn how to get rid of it. Think on good thoughts. Corinthians 10:5. Take every thought captive. Grab it. Say, no, I am not thinking about that. and I'm thinking about, so I can speak life, so I can get to the place where life is. You know, Proverbs, go to Proverbs 4. I've been giving you a lot of scripture, but I want you to go to Proverbs 4. If you got your Bible, if you got your laptop, if you got your telephone, please don't be Facebooking during church. It happens. And can I say something to that? If you're more interested in Facebook, why are you at church? Because you're not getting anything and you're distracting the person around you. Now, if there's an emergency come up, that's a different thing. But if you're actually on Facebook during church, who you look at me, I'm at church. You're not at church. Proverbs 4:20. That was just a little for somebody. Proverbs 4:20. My son. I like. When I heard my son at home, I knew I was in trouble. So I put Ronnie Man. That's what they used to call me. Ronnie Man, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Eyes. Things you see in front of you. Because that goes into your soulish realm. What you see, what you follow. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. And it goes on, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Man, if I could get anything into you tonight, just start working on, all right, what did I just say? How did I just say it? What was my attitude in my sayings? What was my motive in what I said? I mean, because when you say something, you got a reason that you said it. And if you say it sarcastically, you had a reason to say it sarcastically. If you said it degrading and cutting down, you had an inner reason that you did that. Chase down why you did that and get rid of that death and put life and put love and come to that place where everything you say, no matter who you're with or who you're around, you say something good, something life-giving. I'd still keep going back to what Doc brought up, and it's come up in my spirit so much. Just do and just say the next right thing. What a life changer. Because how awesome it would be if everybody here, for the next 24 hours, just spoke life. Your wife done something stupid, and you went, oh, honey, I just love you so much. Your husband did something crazy. Oh, honey, I just love you so much. Your kids pulled something at school. Oh, you know, you'll do better. You know, you just can't go that way. You're a good son. You're going to be okay. You're a straight-A student, son. God's got plans for you. What a difference it would make in all of our lives. And how much more people would like to be around you. I mean, I love to be around people that build me up. Yeah, I'll look for them. It keeps me going. I avoid those that, you'll never do it. It'll never work that way. I've seen it work. I got a VCR back there that would change to a DVD. And I've seen the bulldozer that cleared all these trees. And I've seen the bulldozer that moved all the dirt. And I've seen Martin Building come in and the building go up. And I've seen we were having our service. I've seen all that before I even had the bulldozer brought here. And I spoke it, and we spoke it. I seen Dr. Craig and I one day out there with these big grounding rods that are about 12 foot tall, and you got to drive them in the ground with water. And I seen me and him going, hmm, hmm. I seen that all. Life. I see this church back crammed full where we don't have room, thinking about two services. You say, well, why are we there now? I don't know. I don't know why we're here where we are anyway. Holy Spirit does. So we just keep following Him. He's got big plans for your life. I don't care who you are, you're not done or you'd be in the ground. God's got plans. Lock in and just start speaking life, and you watch. You'll start speaking your future. You'll start speaking your destiny. You'll start speaking your calling. You'll start speaking what God's got for each one of you individually. And everybody here is an individual. Nobody's Ron. Nobody's Jay. Nobody's Connie. They are their self. We are who we are. But the more we follow God, you watch what God does in our life. Let's stand up. I didn't talk to myself for a long time tonight. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, you're an awesome God. We thank you, Father, for everybody that's here. We thank you for everybody that was able to tune in by internet and later catch this on YouTube. We thank you, Father, that you are a God that's got something for everybody here. Help us to do our part in this by speaking life. Your word says for us to abide in you. And then as we abide in you, Father, your word abides in us. And as we speak that word, paraphrased or King James or however we want to speak it, those words become life. They become issues of life. And we thank you that you've got everything good for us. And we take that and we trust in you in all things that's going on in our life right now. We know that it's going to be for the better. In Jesus' name, amen. I call you blessed. You are dismissed. If you need prayer for anything, the elders will be up front here.